We have come to hear your voice. Thank you for everything you spoke these days. You showed us these days. We want to give our hearts to you. Yes, write yourself into us. Give grace to hear. We look to you alone, Lord Jesus.
Ja, lob den Herrn für diese kostbare Zeit. Sie ist kostbar, weil wir ein kostbares.
Praise the Lord for this precious time, because we do have a precious head.
Ich denke, es gibt
right?
Keine andere Zeit, in der es so nötig ist, dass wir dieses Haupt sehen.
There is no other time. It is that important to see this head and know it in reality.
Es gab viele.
Right?
Die Bibel sagt, Abschnitte oder Zeiten,
there are many portions, or you could say ages, in the Bible where God manifested himself. In this age, he manifested this wonderful Christ to us. And he wants us to fully partake of him. I was encouraged very much of what we saw already. And that we may enter into the experience of applying this Christ in our daily living. The Bible is not a book of theories, but a book in order to practice in our daily living. Right? If you read Colossians, there is a special emphasis on this very Christ. Paul uses terms you will not find anywhere else. For example, the firstborn from among the dead. Isn't this wonderful? Death is a huge problem for every man. Everyone tries to prolong his life, right? Everybody wants to grow, to become older, but no one wants to be old. This is the problem of death. The Lord solved this problem. Hallelujah. Right? I appreciated last night. On his cross, he freed and cleared this way for all of us. Our Christian life without the cross is difficult. You can say it is impossible. But praise the Lord, he went to the cross for us. And we read the verses what he accomplished on the cross. What did he do with the writing that was against us? He put it out of the way. He nailed it to the cross. He wiped it out, the handwriting of requirements. Right? Verse 14. You have an enemy, but isn't this good? He doesn't have any more power over you. And publicly, he made a display, a spectacle of him, triumphing over them. All these enemies, right? I am truly encouraged to take him as the head of the church. He is given as head over everything to the church. Today there are so many heads, quote, quote, right? In Revelation there will be an animal having a beast having seven heads, right? But he is a wonderful head. The enemy wants to imitate everything. That's why he uses many different heads. He wants to distract us from the true head to something else. Right? Lord Jesus. But praise the Lord for the mystery of God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is the mystery of God. As we heard, a mystery, you cannot easily resolve it. You have to be interested in it. You have to invest your time in it. Right, Lord Jesus? And what are we? We are his body. There is a head and there is also his body. Lord Jesus, he wants his will on earth to be done. He wants to establish and set up his rulership on this earth. Our vision should not be smaller than that. We have to be faithful in small things. Sometimes we jump up, but the Lord brings us back down, right? Through our situation. All these circumstances shall serve that we may know him better, Lord Jesus. Are you also appreciated? Where it says in this verse, the body is Christ, it says. Because Timo spoke of the shadow, and he is a reality. It's 2:17. He is the body. He is the substance of Christ. If you need endurance, if you need overcoming, he himself wants to be this to you. That's why he used all these pictures in the Old Testament. For example, the rock that followed with them. And Paul uses this in 1 Corinthians, saying this only was the shadow. What is the reality? Today, that is Christ in you. Jesus says to the woman, in you will be a well springing up into eternal life, welling up to eternal life. This lady at the fountain, right, in John chapter 4, she had a difficult life behind her, and she was thirsty, and then she encountered Jesus. And he was ready to give this living water to her, and she wanted to receive it. But then he said, if you drink of this water, you will by no means thirst anymore. And she said, oh, please give this water to me. Lord, please give me such water. We have to say the same. Well, the reality of this rock is Christ giving water. He is the one following with us. How can this be? I thought. This one will never thirst again, he says. But if in him is a well, you will never thirst again. You have to turn to this well, the spring of living water. Otherwise, this well will not help you. Within my heating system at home, I have a little pump which failed yesterday. There was still hot water in the heating system, but it could not reach up to the water tap in my apartment. So it's of no use have boiling water in the basement, but it doesn't reach you in the kitchen. Right? See the point? You need this turn, this small turn, to say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. And praise the Lord for this rock following with us. I'm always figuring where to start. We said in the outline, it's in capital Roman number 6, and then paragraph E, it is all about gaining the prize. I will have to ask a brother to draw a sketch to me at the blackboard. Please be so kind, Matthias. Just as a rough sketch. Well, the Bible speaks a lot of this prize. Sometimes it says battle prize. Well, Our Christian life is not only lingering around and we walk on earth and someday go to heaven. Well, many people commonly believe this. Here in our Christian, quote-unquote Christian country, well, the Bible shows clearly to us the matter is how do we walk? If you walk according to Him, you will obtain, you will gain the prize. Right? Let's look up that verse. From the outline, it's take the one from 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. I'm reading New King James. 2 Timothy 4, 7 to 8. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All those that love His appearing.
Amen.
So Paul was on this way with the Lord. And here in 2 Timothy, he sees his end is near. But he says, I have fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. So he doesn't mention what great things he did. But he says, I finished the race. I have kept the faith. So our life with the Lord is a life in faith. Right? The Lord gave us everything in order to finish this race victoriously. That is on His heart. Right? The question is, what do we want? How do we want to run? There are many things that want to distract us. Right? You see the race here? Well, we are all included in this realm. 8 billion human beings on this earth. Right here to the left. The Bible speaks of Christ wants to head us up, literally. We shall all come under Him as the head, the whole universe. Someone said, we are a heap of collapse. Well, you know the world today, but what it has is mainly the ego, the selfishness. Everybody wants to be top. On the bottom, there is much room. But on the peak, at the top, you're always fighting with each other. Realization, self-sufficiency, self-improvement, self-redemption. You will all find this in the internet. And there is religion holding us back, away from God. It speaks of God, but they do not, unfortunately, they do not know this Christ. And there are environmental problems and all these things, climate issues. In Romans 8, for example, it says, creature sighs, is groaning. For what? Waiting for the revelation of the sons of God. Right? The creature is not groaning because of carbon emissions, but it's sighing for the sons of God to be manifest. Groaning. We all have been saved out of this present generation, right? This is the age here. And then, by what? Through this wonderful cross. Cross here. We said to the Lord, Lord, please now, come into my life. If you haven't done yet, do it, please, today. Then by death and resurrection, we, with Christ, have been seated in the heavenlies with Christ. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. That is wonderful. Yesterday night we saw there are things that want to distract us. If you don't watch out for them, that's what Hebrew describes, right? If you don't watch out, if you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 to 39, it is also about this wonderful great reward. He says, therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. It says here, shrink back or tarry, draw back. What we saw, we have to run this race in faith victoriously, right? But through all these circumstances, such as religion, works of the flesh, and all the negative things we saw, and we still can see today, there is the danger of being distracted. Shrink and draw back. If we do, what can we do? We can repent. We may repent. Yes, this is E. Repentance. We repent and go on again in faith. If you don't repent, you will remain on this lower level. And here, at this line, our present age will cease, will finish. The latest, for each one of us individually, if we die. But those that run faithfully will obtain the reward to feast with the Lord, celebrate His wedding 1,000 years and the millennium. This is the prize we want to obtain, gaining. If you do not repent, you will not join in the wedding feast. The Bible doesn't say that clearly. If you have to have punishment lessons in school, you will have to come in the afternoon at school. That's at least the case in Germany. So better do repent today and not draw back unto perdition. I want to emphasize, sin has penetrated all men. If you read the verses in Timothy, we do not have the time now, 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 5, you can read home. Excuse me for using my handkerchief. I have an allergic reaction. It's not a cold, not a flu. Here, the man of sin is described. Sin really has penetrated all men. It reigns here, this worldly realm. But we have been saved out in order to be overcomers with the Lord. Reign with Him. we shall know. There is this sin increasing in this world, growing. Man was created the sixth day. And the man of sin has this number 666 in Revelation. Sin is multiplied. He is called man of sin. This shows the extent of the bad situation here on the earth. The more you have to appreciate, even more than the salvation of the Lord. Well, it's 18 aspects here and mentioned in 2 Timothy 3 from verse 1. It is, he says, chatar in Greek, as a Greek word meaning sin. I don't know what he's talking of. It leads to the number 666. Never mind. We should avoid drawing back. You will come back into the world if you draw back. All these things in Colossians we read will cause troubles to you. So do not be defrauded of your price, of your great reward. You should better see through the evil things, as it says in 1 Corinthians 4, 19 and 20. First Corinthians 4:19-20. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power.
Amen.
Amen. Here is something puffed up. The things we encounter today, they sound nice, but they are empty, vain, idle. Just like a balloon. If you put a needle to it, boom, it will be empty. Paul says here he wants to know not the word of those who are puffed up, but their power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Paul, 1 Corinthians, had this attitude. I do not come with high wisdom, but in proving you the Spirit and power. For him, the cross was truly a reality. That is in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, verse 2. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. In order to go against all these puffed up ones, you need the cross. These puffed up things will not be able to pass by the cross. The cross will pierce them and the air will come out. And he mentions also the worship of angels. People at that time seemed to understand because the law had been given by angels, right? It sounds very humble. Oh, I cannot pray to this great God directly. I rather pray to an angel. They should speak for me. The Catholic Church today made from it Mary's worship, right? It sounded quite reasonable, but it's without any reality. We heard what the Lord said to Mary. The word shows us we will rather judge angels. So today to us they are ministering spirits, helping us. But we should never worship them. In 2 Timothy, there is also mention of Jannes Jambres. Maybe you heard that those names. They made miracles in front of Pharaoh, and they were able to imitate the miracles Moses and Aaron made. Jannes means deceiver. His name has a meaning, deceiving others, deceiver, defraud. It shows how easily we can be defrauded. We have to take into account everything still approaching us. Many things more will come where false Christs will stand up, deceive men. We have to clearly see this Christ today being the reality of everything. So He really fills our hearts. We know Him, love Him, and appreciate Him above everything. It's only one mediator between God and man. 1 Timothy 2:5. Right? You may read this. It's an important verse, especially for our saints in Italy and Spain and Austria, where Catholicism is so strong. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ. Amen. Only one mediator. Satan always seeks worship of man. When the Lord began His ministry on earth, Satan wanted Him to prostrate, fall down before Him and worship Satan. This is a problem existing permanently. It sounds so humble to worship angels or to worship Mary. But the word is clear. There is only one mediator. Right? Hebrews 2:16. Let me read this to you. Hebrews 2:16. For indeed He does not give aid to angels, but He does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Where do you belong to? To the seed of Abraham. Hallelujah. Oh Lord Jesus. We have died with Christ to the elements of the world. We do not submit to laws and regulations, but we are born of the free, mentioned in Galatians, the two ladies in Galatians. You can read this in Galatians 4. There are so many ordinances you may submit yourself to, your own ordinances, selfishness, your own glory. This is causing troubles to us. Regulations. It is good to take care of the weaknesses of all the saints. Not everything you think is good or is clear, it doesn't belong here. Well, this brother doesn't see it that way yet. That's why you should not judge him. If he comes the next Lord's Day and stands up here and says, Saints, we all now what not have to eat sacrifices or anything. As long as you don't do it, you have to. He doesn't do it. You better bear your brothers in prayer. Take care of the weak ones. We think we are strong, but in fact we are not. We should rather take care of all the weak ones. As long as your oneness is not a oneness of eating vegetables only, this is okay. The Lord may give us wisdom here. I do not want to say much more about this. You can enjoy these verses yourself. I would like to come to my point. Christ is head over all things. That is truly what we need and what we want to experience. I ask myself, how did he become such a head? We had read Philippians, which was mentioned these days as well, but I don't mind to repeat this to you. Christ has become head over all things. By what? By obedience. It sounds so trivial, but it is really the way he took. We really need the eyes of our heart enlightened to see this. We should pray for one another. That this knowledge, this understanding, truly is received by us. To see this wonderful head, as Elisha prayed for his servant when a hostile army surrounded their camp, right? And he prayed for his servant, Lord, please open his eyes. And then his servant saw the fiery horses and many more being with us, heavenly hosts. That's the way how we should better see this Christ. He is the fiery Christ today. If you read Revelation, look at his eyes. But still, he is so near you. To know this Christ better is really marvelous. He has learned obedience. This mind, Philippians 2:5, this mind, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men. This kind of status, this position that the Lord had with the Father, he forsook, he left. And there is a good verse in Proverbs 8, I received from someone last week. Let me just quickly look it up.
It's verse
22. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. That means before anything existed, he Christ was there with the Father. And I go on to verse 30. Then I was beside him as a master craftsman. Or you could translate as beloved. I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Yeah, always. That was his home, where he was, in the oneness with the Father. In this place he left, this joy, this enjoyment, in order to carry out the plan of the Father. He took the form of a slave and became like men, and in appearance found as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. That is Ephesians 2, 8 again. His life was a life of obedience in a relationship with this wonderful Father. It was not a subordinating obedience. But it was a relationship of love. Of course, if you love someone, it's easier to obey, right? So he had this kind of relationship with his Father. And out of it came forth this obedience. You have to enjoy this yourself. Enjoy these proverb verses and Philippians verses. See how he was prepared from his top position to become like a worm, a low worm. You can hardly imagine, but he did. His whole life was characterized by this relationship, by this obedience. Not only in the last part of his life, where you could see he really was a man. He prayed 3 times, Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me. But not my will be done, but yours. On the other hand, there is these verses, for the joy before him he suffered the cross. So within him was both. He was man and he was God. He as a man died for us. Lord Jesus, amen. And his food, you also know. His food was doing the will of the Father. Now we ask ourselves, how can we hold on to this wonderful head? Obedience is not a term of fashion today. I dare to say, this will be the bad word of the year. Soon. Right? Obedience in God's eyes is something very precious. Obedience needs revelation. Lord Jesus, the Father in all things wants to show us Christ in all our circumstances, in all our situations, as we saw. Let me look it up again. Ephesians 1, verse 10. He wants to gather together in one all things in Christ. This is God's economy. God does everything in Christ. It's the means of his choice. Your brothers sometimes have a tool you love most, right? You always use for almost anything. I found out with the little plastic binder you can bind, fix a lot of things. It's a very practical hint. Well, the Father always uses Christ, the tool Christ. If you ask anything, he will tell you, imitate Christ. If you need a recommendation or a recipe, it always says, take Christ. Hallelujah. Through him, he wants to sum up, to put together everything. If you have a truck load full of stones, that's as it is today, he wants to build up something with it. That's why he has a plan for it. This is a plan for an economy of the fullness of the times, stewardship, literally. You cannot do it in one day. Dispensation of the fullness of the times. It's a bigger project, Matthias. A huge project. He wants to gather together in one all things in Christ. And chapter 2, verse 7 says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. And in the ages to come, not, we stop always with the coming age, but it's the ages, plural, to come. He wants to display, to show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So the Lord takes his time, right? In this age, there is the church in his focus, absolutely. So through the church, he would like to show all the principalities and powers what it means to live under him as the head. That is truly a tremendous vision, a great vision. Read it again in 1 Corinthians 15. There it mentions the order we mentioned before. This is verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ's at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign. This is God's order, the divine order. This applies. The Lord takes his time to put all these things under him as the head. How foolish if you miss that today, this age. You have the chance to be under him as the head, to be put together. We really have to appreciate this. That's why Paul prays also in Colossians 1:9 for all wisdom and spiritual understanding, right? We shall also do this for each other. If you do not know what to pray, pray for wisdom and knowledge for all the saints. It is important for us to have a vision. Vision is not everything, but it's important. If you want to carry out something, anything, you want to build up a house, you need a vision. Draw up a plan or take a picture. The Lord gives us a clear direction of what he wants to do and by whom he wants to do it. Right? This head really has authority. I would like to go back now to the obedience. The Lord learned obedience from this relationship of the Father. Not with the whip, not by force, but he has relationship of love. Very good relationship with his Father. And out of this relationship, obedience came forth. For us, there is no difference. We should also learn obedience. We had a conference in Schomberg, Black Forest, and we were, had been reading 1 Peter chapter 1, which impressed me very much at that time. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. He speaks of obeying the truth here. What is truth? The Word shows Christ as the truth. And the Spirit is the truth, right? And the Church is the truth. The pillar and base of the truth, right? And His Word is the truth. So, this obedience is based on this truth, to unfeigned love of the brethren. That's what the Lord mentions, picks up and mentions in John 14. Maybe we could also read this. He who loves me, it's in verse 21. He first says, all these things. No, where is it? He who has my commandments, sorry, and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. So if you keep the commandment, you will love him. 23 says, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. The word shows how crucial it is. As a proof for our love to the Lord, if the word doesn't touch you, is not interesting to you, go to the Lord and say, Lord, please grant me a fresh touch with you. I want this love to be fanned in flame again. You can see it by how he reveals himself to you. He makes his abode, his home with us. This is, he loves nothing more than that. Make home in our heart. Right? In the Old Testament, there was disobedience characterizing God's people, right? There is a psalm, is it 7? I don't know. I'm not sure. Where it says, so there is a positive report, but then the Israelites fell back, and then they cried to the Lord, and they were restored. So there is a circle again and again, falling and rising up again. Our Christian life is kind of this, like this. But at the end, it was with them, this kind of fluctuation went down and down, and they could not reach the upper level anymore, right? So the people that moved out of Egypt did not enter into the good land. It was only the new generation. And later on, the whole nation was led into captivity. Because of what? Their disobedience. So it's good to say to the Lord daily, Lord, grant me an obedient heart. That is such a simple prayer. It sounds so simple, but it's crucial. Every morning when I wake up, I sit down at on my bed and I pray, Lord, I pray this, make me obedient. Pray for your heart and pray for the hearts of the saints. Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus. Well, for this obedience, we need the cross to come under the head. Without the cross is not possible. If you are an enemy of the cross, you will not have a way. But who wants to be an enemy of the cross? The cross did so much for us and brought forth so many wonderful things, right? And the Lord wants to have this unfeigned brotherly love. That shall be the result if you're obedient to the truth. We had the verses from the Mountain of Transfiguration already. It is so good to only hear this one. So many noises reach our ear. But we, in Revelation, it says, shall hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Open up your ear. Again and again.
Und ich bin immer erstaunt über die Sulamit, ja, die ganz am Ende in Kapitel 8 vom Hohelied sagt.
Shulamite is the one impressing me in the Song of Songs. She says, Lord, bring me, cause me to hear your voice. All these 8 chapters of the Song of Songs. So many experiences she made with the Lord. It still, she always says, has the desire, Lord, cause me to hear your voice. You should not stop listening, hearing, even in our human life. If people die, if a person dies, the last thing functioning is the senses to hear. Everything else may cease and go down, but not the hearing. The Lord has to grant us a hearing ear. Let me still mention 2 Corinthians 10:5. We mentioned it a number of times already. We cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. There are so many arguments and high things that have an appearance of wisdom. But it's good to take these thoughts captive, right? If your thoughts come, you cannot prevent, can hardly hinder. But what you can do is, let not these thoughts spread in your mind. We bring them under the obedience of Christ. Amen. Lord Jesus.
In Nehemiah gab es diese Situation.
In the book of Nehemiah, there was a situation, chapter 13, where traders came, merchants, and they wanted to enter into the city of Jerusalem. But he, Nehemiah, prohibited them to enter into the city on the Sabbath. Then they rested outside the city and waiting to come in. I just want to mention, do not allow these merchants to come in. So many merchants would like to enter into you, into your heart, and your heart is inclined to hear new things and see new things, but be careful. What is he carrying with him? What does he want to sell to me? So Nehemiah was not very friendly to these guys, but he strongly prohibited them. Don't do this again. Okay, Nehemiah 13, not 3. Let's see. Yeah, on the Sabbath day, he warned them Why, 21, why do you spend the night around the wall? If you do so again, I will lay hands on you. From that time on, they came no more on the Sabbath. See, Nehemiah 13, verse 21. They all had merchants, they had a lot of all kinds of wares with them. The Lord has to make us sensitive of what is good for our ears and what we better should reject, right? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. The more we get to know this head, the more we will discover he is the authority in the church. This head is governing, is ruling. I have to say, the church is really unique. You will not find this anywhere else. I'm sorry to say it that way. I love all my brothers and sisters among the Christians. I have a lot of relatives who are Christian believers, right? We have a good relationship with most of them. So, as much as is on you, have peace with all men, right? But the church is unique in the way. If I had failed this morning and had not come this morning, it would not have been a problem. The church does not depend on one person. In the mega churches, the big crystal cathedral, etc., the pastor is not coming, then it will be a big problem. But in the little flock here, it's not a problem. There are so many depending on the head, Christ. This is wonderful. The church is unique in the sense. Why? Because the Lord has the authority. Otherwise, you have to have capable, skillful persons. I'm sorry that I'm here. You have to listen to me. I'm not a qualified, eloquent speaker, but it's the grace of the Lord. And I just was assigned the job. Next time, Matthias is doing the speaking, and I will draw the sketches. Both brothers from the church in Reutlingen.
Oh, hey, Jesus. Yeah, and we're doing good, unsere Knie vor ihm zu beugen.
We do well if we bow our knees before him. When John saw him, John 1, 17 and 18, John is the one who had been laying the breast of Jesus, at the bosom of Jesus. But when he saw Jesus again after his resurrection and revelation, much later, it's verse 17 and 18, he saw a completely different Christ. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death." If you see him, truly see him, you will fall to his feet as dead, but he will touch you. Amen. He is there, he is this burning Christ. He will judge you by his eyes. But on the other hand, you will see his love. He wants to restore the churches. Those that had run well, he will strengthen. He will encourage. This is what he's doing, his ministry today. And he's seeking people joining in. Right? On the one hand, we need a healthy fear, but not a fear paralyzing us. not a fear paralyzing us. As Jacob, you remember when he was in Bethel, he had a dream. He says, how awful this place is. So he really saw something of this, of the authority of God, right? So if you see this Christ, you will see the authority in his house. Proverbs 9, verse 10, it's a wonderful verse. How late? What time is it? Time? 20 minutes to 10, to 12? Let me just quickly read it. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The beginning of all wisdom, it says this way around, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Right? Proverbs 9, verse 10. In another place it says, the fear of the Lord is the source of life. Very positive. Praise the Lord. It is good to subject ourselves to this divine order. In his wisdom, he gave this order, as we saw yesterday. How good it is to subject to this order. Submit yourself to this order. Our Christ, he is the head, and we are the body. As Timo showed yesterday, there is an order between husband and wife and children. But there is also an order in the world, worldly order, authorities, the Bible says. And you also should submit yourself to them, right? I'm also having trouble doing it always, but we exercise, right? The Lord installed them. Who am I? They are meant to help me to come to God by the situation. Directly, they cannot help. There is the rebellion of Satan, which is contained in our limbs, in our members. The Lord is dealing with it, right? And this does not happen overnight. It is good to submit yourself to this order. Rebellion is easy, is quickly. We are very quick, swift. No child has to learn how to rebel. They all know how to do it. Right? And we also do it, maybe hidden, secretly, cover up a bit better, but still rebellion. The Lord has taken away the root of rebellion. We may exercise to submit to him. I recommend to you the messages from the conference in Austria, Schlügen. You can read all these. They were speaking of these verses in Romans. It's a good word to hear it. Listen to the MP3 file.
Noch 1. Korinther 11, Vers 3. Ich will aber, dass ihr wisst, eines jeden Mannes Haupt.
Let me read still 1 Corinthians 11, 3. I want you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is a man, and the head of Christ is God.
So einfach.
Very simple.
Halleluja. Welche Befreiung.
So what a release, what a deliverance.
Dein Leben wird einfach.
If you obey, your life will be simple, easy. Rebellion, look what came of this world just because of its rebellion. Everybody is rebelling against each other. But God is restoring his order, not from the outside, but from the inside. That is his way. Lord Jesus, we praise you. Now we still want to see, it's already a little late. This being practically one in the body is important. Lord Jesus.
Aus dem Haupt fließt der Strom des Lebens. Amen. Halleluja.
Out of the head flows the river of life.
Ja, voll von diesem Strom.
The Bible is full, is mentioning this river many times. Ezekiel also mentions this wonderful river making healthy everything. And the Bible is ending with the river. Shows God wants to supply. This head is the source forever. There is no other source. He is the rich supply with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So Philippians 1:19, everybody knows this verse.
So, es ist oft die Frage, ja, aus was kommt etwas, ja?
Out of what comes what? What is included in? Formerly you had computers with a label saying Intel inside. But now they have the AMD processors, a new one. So it would not fit anymore, this label. So you have to ask yourself, what is your source? What is inside? What is in it? The source is the Father. He is in the oneness with the Son. The head wants to supply richly through all the members.
It
is clear for all of us what is the source. That is God Himself. But the problem is the dispensation, dispensing, distributing it, has to do with you and me. It needs us to pass on, to pass this on. Today, in the northern region of Europe, they generate a lot of energy offshore, wind farms. But here in southern Germany, we need this energy, right? Because here is the industry, and they have to bring down the energy somehow. But it's difficult. There is not enough lines to bring down the energy. So the Lord also has a need of bringing His energy into the body. He needs joints and sinews. Who is this? This is the members that are ready to pass on the life of God. That this supply would not cease. Many rivers may pass on the riches. In the beginning there was one river, but then it's parted it split up into four arms. God wants to distribute His rich life supply. That's why He needs the joints and marrows. No, what does it say here? To distribute His life supply through us. You can see many pictures. It's called joints and ligaments here in Colossians 2. You can enjoy Romans 12. Joints and ligaments are important, right? The sinews, they support the joints. One time I injured my foot, destroyed the, they made an MRT and said, the physicians, the doctor said, you have to get a surgery for that. But then the top doctor came and said, no, we don't put a surgery on it. We will do it conservatively. And then he made a kind of a band, a protection, support for the sinews. He bound my ankle in such a skillful way, because he was the boss doctor, the chief doctor, presiding doctor. He bound it nicely, and I had to come twice a week to renew, but finally it worked without having a surgery. That was a miracle to me. Some of them wanted to cut immediately, but it was a picture to me. Sometimes we have so many concepts. Hey, he could function in a better way now. Let's do it. Put out the knife. Cut the brother. Put his brother under surgery. No. Well, why not wrap it up? Make a better band. Binding up the ankle. The sinews, the ligaments is important. There are different sorts of joints. They keep you moving, right? But sometimes we are too much moving. We need the band holding us tight. Some saints are so agile, so movable, but then we need others to, yes, restrict a little bit. But we also shouldn't be stiff. But always moving in the Spirit. Amen. There's a verse saying, the overcomers, Revelation, the overcomers follow the Lamb wherever it goes. Wherever it goes. Right? That's what we want, don't we? We want to move with His movement, don't we? And to hold on to the head, we need the body. It needs our obedience, but it also needs the body. These joints and ligaments, right? They are holding us in the right position unto the head, to Christ. The head always has to be on top. I cannot stand on my head as acrobats can. Sometimes we know how to do it. Turn around everything. Well, it's important that our relationship with to the head and to the body is important. Both is important. That's the way to grow properly. I had a classmate in university. He was kind of retarded with a physical illness. He was moving badly. If you walked next to him, he unintentionally twisted his leg, made a movement with his leg so that you almost always fell down. But he was a dear brother. It was unintentional. It was a kind of illness. Spastic. Something in his nerves was blocked between brain and limbs. But the Lord will bring this, all this, into a good order spiritually. It is good if you listen to the commands from the head as a member, right? And it's bad if you don't do. We have to take care of a relationship with the head and the members. And these joints and ligaments help us to touch the Lord, not to replace the Lord, right? That is important. They are a help, a support. Whenever there is a ligament becoming your head, be careful. Be careful. They help you to touch the Lord, to exercise the Spirit, to encourage each other, stand in the oneness, as it says in Corinthians. Help burns for our joy.
So, here in 1 Corinthians 12, kennt ihr lesen, ja.
1 Corinthians 12, here you can read. It is here, all members being active. The Lord uses every member that is important in His body. The Lord put all the members in the body. And you do not have to look them to select them. You be rather grateful for every member. And we want to help each other, don't we?
Ja, jetzt kommt noch, der Leib wächst mit dem Wachstum Gottes. Das dürft ihr.
So the last point, the body grows with the growth of God. It's now up to you to share whatever moves you and touches you. That is the growth of God. Right? One time someone asked, who is the fastest growing Christian group? No, this is not the point. It is about the growth of God. Right? We had this verse, Apollos planted. No, Paul planted, Apollos watered. And God gave growth, right? So it goes together, many points. We should not pull the plants to come up. They do not grow faster if you pull. You just rather pray for the plants. Pray for the growth God will give. Praise the Lord. We are encouraged to hold on to this wonderful head. Praise the Lord.